This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
For the skeptics who do not understand the Iraqi people, they do not realize how decades of torture and repression feed our desire for freedom. At every step of the political process to date, the courage and resilience of the Iraqi people has proved the doubters wrong.
Iraq's interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi speaking Thursday to the U.S. Congress. Dan Shore is observing Yom Kippur today, so we are pleased to be joined by our friend, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, who joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Juan.
Good morning, Scott.
And Prime Minister Alawi also appeared with President Bush Thursday at the White House, and they were both optimistic about Iraq's future. How harmonious is their optimism with the daily reports that we get today as any other day about car bombings and kidnappings?
Well, it's discordant. I mean, clearly, if you have stories about people being beheaded, continuous attacks, I believe more than 100 people were killed on Wednesday, including several U.S. soldiers, you have the sense that there's chaos in much of Iraq. Now, when I say much, I know that that's a subjective value, but what you have is a situation where, with regard to the prospect of elections in January, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld says you can have elections. Life's not perfect. You may not have elections in all parts of the countries, but he thinks maybe 15 of the 17 provinces it would be possible. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan and others have said they don't see the possibility of holding credible elections given the continued high level of violence. And when you had Prime Minister Alawi come in this week and not only speak to the Congress but stand in the Rose Garden with President Bush, you understand that it was much more than a state visit. It really was a political statement about both the U.S. and Iraq, about the Iraqi situation in the sense that, well, it's key that they try to assert some sort of democratic values and the possibility of holding fair and honest elections. And in the U.S., it's so key to the president's reelection effort because the president feels that it's central for Americans to understand that his idea is to plant seeds of democracy that would grow in the Middle East. And if there's no possibility of democracy and elections in Iraq, it would undermine that thrust.
Let me ask you about Prime Minister Alawi's pledge that that the elections are going to be held in January and they will not be delayed. And we recognize there could be some variations even on that if we're talking about elections in, say, 15 of the 17 provinces of Iraq. Is this a face-off between, in a sense, contending campaigns for credibility, the credibility that Prime Minister Alawi and, for that matter, the U.S. government wants, of saying, look, the process is in place, there are going to be elections in January, and the credibility of an election that would be held while there are still vast security problems?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, and the credibility is one that is essential. One of the things that you see if you're looking at American politics these days is that one area where Senator Kerry could possibly exploit to some advantage is the American public's uncertainty about the direction of American efforts in Iraq. President Bush has a lead, if you ask people about leadership, ability to defend the homeland and all that. But for undecided voters who are the prime target, Scott, for all of these discussions, questions about what's taking place in Iraq remain. And I think you've seen this past week, Senator Kerry ramp up the rhetoric with regard to the idea that the decisions, the judgments that President Bush has made in Iraq have not made the homeland, the U.S., safer. One, it's drained resources, financial resources, but secondly, that it has allowed terrorists to concentrate in Iraq. He says it's become a breeding ground. The president's response just yesterday, and Vice President Cheney chimed in as well, is to say, how can you be an American leader when you are so pessimistic and you are undermining the credibility of our Iraqi allies? And we want to ask the Iraqis to do more work to reconstruct their own country. And the suggestion is that, therefore, Senator Kerry is not being faithful to the idea that we Americans are in for better or worse, and we have to see the Iraqi effort all the way through.
Senator Kerry said this week, I believe the phrase was that the U.S. policy had traded a dictator for chaos in Iraq. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were hearing that he was going to concentrate his campaign on domestic issues because he could have the most success there. Is it events on the ground that have determined Senator Kerry and his advisors elsewhere that there is vulnerability on this issue in Iraq? Maybe less the decision to go to war at this point than the prosecution of the occupation and the length of the occupation.
I think that's right, Scott. And I think that there are two things that have played into this. One is, of course, you had the Prime Minister Iwatalawi's visit just this past week in Washington. And so that was going to drive the news. And I think Senator Kerry felt that he had to respond and get out front. And the second thing is you got the debates coming up, debates beginning next week in Miami. And I think you have Senator Kerry trying to set the ground for a debate. Remember, the topic of that first debate is going to be foreign policy. And whereas President Bush had been portraying Senator Kerry as a flip-flopper on with regard to the vote about whether to go to war or not go to war, whether or not he supported the $87 billion allotment to support the troops and for Reconstruction, mm-hmm. here is Kerry now taking the offensive and saying, this is not about the decision to go to war. We went to war. It's the key issue here is about policy and judgments that this president has made since the war began. And he adds in, we haven't caught Osama bin Laden. So in a sense, he's saying, maybe this has been a distraction because we are far more invested. It's taken far more time. This is your point, Scott. It's, the duration has been much longer, the level of investment much greater. And we feel that Senator Kerry is saying his campaign feels that there have been mistakes made, and it's time for the president to own up to that, to those mistakes, to be honest with the American people.
We will stipulate, by the way, the debates are actually taking place in Coral Gables, which is near Miami, but folks in Coral Gables are proud and deserve well, their separate identification.
Don't let me slight them.
This week, the U.S. Congress voted to extend President Bush's tax cuts. This represents $146 billion in tax relief. At the same time, will almost certainly exacerbate the budget deficit. The Democrats were unable to amend the legislation. Why?
Well, I think it's election time, and I think the Democrats are scared. I tell you, it really was a sign to me, Scott, of how completely the Republicans dominate Capitol Hill and dominate Washington policy at this moment. The Democrats were unable to launch anything in the way of a counterattack. Even to say, listen, we have to have commensurate spending cuts to allow for these tax cuts, or we should have tax increases on the higher income Americans if we want to really deliver tax cuts to middle income Americans. Even the effort by the Democrats to argue that there should be an opportunity here to extend child tax credits to poor Americans, which would have raised the cost of the tax cut by about $4 billion, even that was defeated. And when people like Stephanie Tubbs Jones of Ohio, a Democrat, said, you know, wait a minute, it's okay that we drive up the deficit for every other reason, but not to help the poor, the response was, no, that would be a welfare program. I just thought, you know, it's just evidence the Democrats, given the election season, don't want to be portrayed as tax and spend liberals and didn't feel that they had the ability to fight. So what you end up with is a strong defeat in the House and only, I believe it's two Republicans and one Democrat, Fritz Hollings of South Carolina, who's leaving the scene, as you well know, were able to vote no.
Let me turn now to the media story that has figured prominently in the campaign this week. Dan Rather and CBS News have apologized for the controversy, for reporting the story, which apparently enlisted which might be fraudulent documents pertaining to President Bush's National Guard service.
Well, I think
I haven't given you much time, have I, Juan? Yeah.
No, but let me just quickly say that I think it's been manna for President Bush. It's taken any attention away from questions about his military service. Papers have been released just yesterday, more papers about his military service. We still don't know the entirety of it, and clearly the burden still is on Senator Kerry and questions about what he did and the Swift Boat veterans. It's been an amazing political season, Scott.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.